Well, hello and God bless you. Welcome to BlendCouragesYou.com, where we are here with a word from the Lord to help keep you encouraged to stay on the wall for the Lord. My name is Blend, and as always, I give God praise, glory, and honor for being here with all of you on this episode number 344 of our podcast. Well, BCU family, we have some unfinished business to take care of as it relates to our last conversation together. So please take this time to get your Bibles, your notebooks, something to write with, and settle on in. BlendCouragesYou is coming to you with Hannah and Samuel. Part 3 is what's coming up next. All right, everybody, we're going to get into our podcast content momentarily. Before we do that, I'd love to establish protocol. So whether you are a first-time listener or a long-time listener, we are so delighted that you chose BlendCouragesYou.com for your encouragement today. And if you haven't already done so, I'd love for you to consider making our relationship permanent. So wherever you are listening from, be it on the BlendCouragesYou.com site, Amazon Music, Anchor Radio, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you are listening from, please go ahead and hit the subscribe button. And that gets you in as an official part of the BCU family. Welcome. All right, BCU family. So before I head into our content for today, let me just give you a quick synopsis of what we've been talking about and where our plan is to go on this podcast. So we have been in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and studying the life of Hannah as she was barren and was really looking for the Lord to open her womb and to give her a man child. Now, where we left off we were talking about how she was at the temple. She was praying, pouring her heart out to the Lord. And Eli, thinking that she was drunk, accused her of being that way. And once she explained her situation, she let Eli know that that wasn't the case. Eli then let her know that she would get the petition, the answer to her petition that she wanted. And we thank God for that. We also know that the Lord came through, as he always does when he says he's going to come through, he will do just that, and that she did have a man child, and she named him Samuel. So we're going to start around probably the 16th or 17th verse, just for context sake, and then we're going to head into 1 Samuel chapter 2, where we look at Hannah and her rejoicing, that prayer that she had offered up before the Lord because he had heard her cry. And listen, he heard her cry in more than one way, and we will get into that. So where we will start is, again, the latter half of 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we will go into 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll, of course, be at the first verse and probably head to verse number 10. And then I'll come back, we'll talk about it a bit, pray, and then we will dismiss. So take a listen to our Bible study. Here we go.
Yes. So Eli accuses her of being drunk. And verse number 15, once again, Hannah, with her sweet spirit, did not rebuke him because he was a priest. She did not speak harshly to him or anything like that. She did, though, defend herself. And she said in verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Ooh, have you poured out your soul before the Lord in prayer? Ooh, I'll tell you, that is some sweet fellowship right there. Verse 16 says, "Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So she was just saying, I brought all of that to the Lord in prayer. So whatever our complaints are, whatever our sorrow is, the heaviness, the grief, the anger, the frustration, the stress, the worry, the strain, the concern, take it to the Lord in prayer. And once she did that, Eli said in verse 17, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now look at that. She brought it to the Lord, and the Lord used Eli to let her know that her prayer would be answered. She could go in peace. That means that she could relax. She didn't have to worry. This was a word from the Lord. You can rest on it. And when God tells you that something is going to be done or he's going to take care of it, we can rest assured that it is going to be done. So Eli spoke a word from the Lord. And she said, verse 18, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way. Listen, after she got that word, what did she do? What did she do? She got that food on. She said, okay, I'm going to eat now. I'm going to get this meal on now, Sister Billie Joe. I can have this bread. I can get this. I can eat because I know it's well. I know God's got this. I know he's taking care of this, so I don't have anything to worry about. All right, so she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she had no sad face on. She had those joyful lips that we read about in Psalm 63. She was good. Yes, she poured out her heart before the Lord, and she could count on the fact that he was going to take good care of her petition because it was already granted. All right, let's see what happens. I know we know how the story is, but we're going to look at it anyway. To be encouraged. Yes, verse number 19 in 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, and they rose up in the morning early. We see this theme with getting up early. Listen, and what did they do when they rose up? What did they do? They worshiped. Yes, yes, they worshiped before the Lord. So they got, they made sure that they gave God his just due. Amen. So with that worship, I'm sure there was some prayer in there, some praise, all of that. And returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord did what? He remembered her. Yes, he did. When will he come through? Every time. The Lord comes through every time. When will he come through? Every time. He came through. Yes, he did. He came through. Yes, he did. Verse 20 says, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So that's what Samuel means, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and what? Abide there forever. So once they went up to offer their yearly sacrifice and to bring him to the house of God, he was going to stay there. He was going to stay there. So she knew that she promised that she was going to give that child to the Lord, and he was going to have to stay there and minister to Eli and those that were there. Verse number 23 says, and Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth the good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So do what the Lord is saying. Make sure that you are doing what God says. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So in that culture, a child usually wasn't weaned until about 2 years old. So he probably was about two or maybe three when she decided to wean him. And then verse 25 says, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Verse 26 says, and she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood here praying unto the Lord. So she's going back. She's going back down memory lane and remembering, you know what? I was standing here, you know, and when God answers our prayer, we need to go back sometimes and we just need to recall that and give God some praise for answering our prayer. Amen. Yes. Verse 27 says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So Samuel stayed and worshiped there. So it wasn't easy for her. Wasn't easy for her to leave her baby, but she did that because she promised. Yeah, that's right. Yes, he answered prayer. He answered prayer. He answered prayer. All right, so listen, we're going to go into chapter number 2. I don't plan to do the whole thing, but this all goes together. So just go on to chapter 2 because there's some more praying going on here. There's some more. And chapter 2, verse number 1, and 1 Samuel says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. So listen, the Lord answered her prayer. She was able to offer up her son, and her mouth was enlarged over Peniah over there. So listen, she's smiling because God has given her the victory. She goes on to say, there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like who? Our God. There is no rock like our God. Nobody, none beside. Nobody can do what God can do. Can they? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody can do it like Jesus does. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Nobody. Can nobody do you like Jesus? Nobody. Nobody. And listen, she said, the horn is exalted. A horn is used as a picture of strength in the Bible. Now, I want you all to think about an ox. The strength of an ox or a steer is expressed in its horn. If you've ever watched those little nature shows on TV when those rams and stuff, they lock horns, that's how they get their victory because they use their heads, and those horns are real hard and strong. So when she talks about my horn is exalted in the Lord, when she talks about that, that's just saying that, you know, this is the Lord. This is his strength. Because there's strength like no other. There's a song says that you are, Jesus, you are my strength. Strength like no other that, what? Reaches for me. So there's no strength. There's no horn like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, verse number 3. Now, this is for the people who are a little proud, a little arrogant, a little haughty. She says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. He is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighted. So there's no room for pride. You might think you know all of this, that God can turn some things around, and you won't know what happened. You know, it's just better for us not to be doing so much talking. Usually pride comes out of your mouth. So it's better for us to just stop doing so much talking and just let the Lord do what he's doing. So we don't want to be proud at all. As a matter of fact, the scriptures remind us that the Lord resists the proud. Does he not? He gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. I don't want to be proud. I know that's okay. My little strength, my little knowledge is nothing compared to Jesus. So we're just going to stay on the humble side of things. Verse number 4, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. So if you're stumbling, you'll get that strength. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren has borne 7, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth, and the Lord maketh alive. Yes, he bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, and maketh rich. He bringeth low, and he lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes. Ooh, look at that. Look at that. The poor come out of the dust, and he lifts up the beggar from out of the dunghill. Dunghill is where all the poopy and stuff goes. That's where all the waste material goes. So he knows how to lift you up out of all of that stuff. Listen, I'm one of those folks. We didn't come from money and prestige and whatnot. We came up out of the poor kind of things, and I thank the Lord for it, because he knows how to lift you up and set you among princes and make you inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars are the earth's and the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So those who think that they are high and mighty because of their money and their connections and their status and all those things, they'll be brought down if they're working in their own little minds, and the Lord will bring up who he wants to bring up. Amen?
Amen. Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Verse number 9, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. There's that horn once again. All right, verse number 11. Says, and Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So the child did minister. He became the Lord's helper. This is a sign to me that the Lord can use whoever he will, even children, to minister. Amen. Someone told me, a person of God, I won't say who it was, oh, it's a waste to baptize kids. What? And I'm talking about a child that was repentant and wanted to be saved. Oh, it's a waste. Well, they're just kids. What do you mean? You mean the Lord can't speak to a child and let them know that they need to repent? I know one lady from the church that I attended before I came here, who was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost at 6 years old, and stayed saved until, and she just passed away, about 2-3 months ago. So I think she was in her 70s. The Lord saved her at 6. I know another lady, another mother of our church, was saved at 8 and remained saved until the day she died. So you can't tell me that God does not save and use children. No one can tell me that. I've seen it myself. So no, it's not a waste to baptize children. And yes, children can be filled with the Holy Ghost. No, that's not a waste at all. Not at all. No, that's not what we're coming with. All right, we're going to get ready to wrap things up so that I'm not keeping you all too late. So let's see, we're going to go down to the 12th verse. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. So Eli's sons were corrupt. Belial was a pagan god, and Belial refers to worthless and wicked men. Now, this was a problem because these were the sons of Eli. They were next in line to be the high priest, and they were already priests. But the Bible says they didn't know the Lord. So that tells me that sometimes what happens is that people are in places that they have no business being in. You need to know the Lord and his fullness. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody and anything. I just know that I need to be in a place where I know the Lord personally for myself. I don't want the Lord to say, I don't know you, or you don't know me. I don't want the Lord to say that to me. The scriptures let us to know that there will be people who have prophesied in his name and healed and did all this, and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want that. See, these two, they knew not the Lord, and the Lord did not know them. Amen? He did not know them. That is not a testimony that we want at all. These were some wicked ones. No, indeed. Verse number 13, and it was the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, and when the flesh was seething or hot, a flesh hook of three teeth in hand, that he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh until the Israelites that came hither. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn fat presently, and they take as much as the soul desires, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man, was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. So they weren't doing things the right way. They just wanted to take things and not do things. They were greedy, and they would use violence to get what they wanted. You give me this now. So the greatness of the sins of Eli's son was clear because they were greedy, they were violent, they were intimidating the people. They didn't want others to bring these offerings to the Lord. They took what they wanted. So they hurt other people. They were not men of God at all. Not at all. But verse number 18 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. See, he didn't let that or let them influence him. Being a child, he was girded with a linen ephod. So he did what God told him to do, what God downloaded into him. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So she still took care of him, although he wasn't part of their immediate household. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord, and they went unto their own home. Now, because she did all of this, the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. Now, someone whose womb was shut up year after year after year, someone who was unable to conceive, the Lord opened up her womb and not only gave her Samuel, but three other sons and two daughters besides. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So anytime we say that we're going to do something for God, and she kept her promise. Now that was her only son at one point, and she kept her promise that she would give that son back to the Lord. And she did that. She kept her word, and the Lord blessed her even more. So sometimes we need to just go on a let go of what the Lord has told us to let go of, and then he'll give us more. Amen. Your closed fist is not going to get anything. So if the Lord is saying to let go of such and such, or to let go of this job, or to let go of this friendship, or whatever it is, just trust that when you let it go, that God has something else for you. And what God has for you is always going to be in his favor. It's always going to be a blessing. We just have to move past the fact of not trusting that God knows what he's doing. He's a good, good father, and he's going to make sure that his children are taken care of. Amen.
Oh, BCU fam, was that a beautiful testimony? It really was. And we went even further than I said in the introduction. So I just love the fact that Hannah was blessed in all abundance. And listen, this is not just relegated to Hannah. We serve the same God, and he is yet able to do the same for us. And for some of us, our petition may not be that we are looking to have children. Maybe we need a blessing from the Lord as it relates to healing in our bodies, or maybe in our hearts or minds. Maybe we are interceding on behalf of someone else. Maybe we need a job, a financial blessing. Maybe we need a restoration in a relationship. It's the same God, and he is still performing the same miracles. And we are able to go to him and ask for those blessings. We are able to ask for whatever it is that we would like. Now, whatever it is that we're wanting the Lord to do for us, it has to be in his will and in his way. Amen. Certain things, BCU fam, the Lord will not allow to happen because he knows what's best for us. So what we have to do is settle in our hearts that whatever his decision is, that it's best. And if it doesn't work out quite the way that we had asked him for that, he will settle our spirits, knowing that he has made the final decision and that it's going to be good and very good. So on that wise BCU fam, I think it's time for us to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you once again, we thank you for the word of God that has encouraged our hearts and minds. We thank you, Lord, that when we look at the story of Hannah and how you blessed her over and over and over again, how you had her to triumph over her enemy, we say thank you, Lord. Some of us are dealing with certain enemies in our lives, Lord Jesus, and we are looking to you to avenge us of our enemies. So we thank you for doing it, Lord. Remember the person today who needs a touch in their body. Remember somebody, Lord, whose mind needs to be healed. Remember somebody today, Lord, who's struggling with something and they need to give it up. They need deliverance today, Lord Jesus. There's someone that's crying out to you, Lord, because they need a relationship reconciled. Somebody needs a financial miracle. Someone needs a job, Lord. Someone needs the means to take care of someone. Whatever it is, Lord, it could be a myriad of things, Lord Jesus. We know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Above all, we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for answering our prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that if it doesn't get answered in the way that we had originally petitioned you, Lord, that you know what is best, and we're going to trust that the outcome is going to be perfect because you are perfect in all of your ways. We thank you, Lord, today for answering our prayers. We thank you for giving us assurance in our hearts that you've heard us. We thank you that our countenance is no longer sad, but that we've got joy down on the inside, and we're going to continue to serve you and to represent you, Lord, in all of our interactions, and do that well with your help. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Let every heart say amen. Amen, BCU family. So I am curious to know what your thoughts are about what we've talked about today. So if you would, BCU family, leave me a comment wherever you are listening from. And if you don't see a comment section in the podcast platform you are currently listening to, that's okay. Head on over to the blendcouragesyou.com site. There's a comment section there. Go ahead and drop what your thoughts are and let's continue our conversation. Well, BCU family, it is time for me to sign off. Once again, this is Blend from blendcouragesyou.com here. Thank you all so much for your prayerful support and for listening in. And Lord will, and until the next time we are together, may our amazing God bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you all peace as you stay on the wall.